Well, this morning we're going to continue our teaching in knowledge that overcomes. And this is, if anything, we do. Basically, I've been teaching along the line of things that years ago were predominantly taught, but these are the things that make you an overcomer. Is number one, there is no such thing as developing spiritually without understanding the principle of faith. You can't do it. It's one of the things is why in the church world we have so little development many times of people is because people don't know what faith is. You know, most of the average person, I've seen this over the years, you go to them and if you ask them, you know, about faith and what faith is, the only thing they can do is give you a synonym of the word. Oh, well, faith means to trust. How do you do that? Well, you just trust. Oh, you're good. If it was like that, ain't none of them would have problems with things. But one of the things, if not understanding, if you don't understand how faith works, you will definitely believe the doctrines that God doesn't do a lot of things today that he used to do. Why? Because it's only by faith you can attain them, so they can't attain them, so they say that God doesn't do it anymore. It's because they don't understand. Once I understood faith and I looked at the word and I thought, wow, you can bring any of this thing, you can do this thing. God didn't do things in the Old Testament concerning Israel without concerning faith. Now, he did things for them by mercy and stuff, but he still does today. There's many Christians today get blessed because of God's mercy and it ain't their faith. He's just merciful to be good to his people, and they'll walk around and think, then they'll pat themselves on the back, well, you know, I'm just trusting the Lord. I ain't trusted at all. He's just good. He is good and does things, but there are things that will come along and he'll demand out of you faith. And he's going to demand it out of you. It's just like we would do naturally. You know, we don't want to send our kids to school. We demand certain, you know, if you're a decent parent, you deserve, expect certain learning from them and them to do. And so our dad is a good dad. Our father is a great father. And he put inside of us the best teacher that there ever was or ever will be. Hallelujah. And he lives in us. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We're going to look this morning and turn to Luke, the 6th chapter. Now, we're going to look at this. These are scriptures that all of us, if you've hung around here any amount of time, you would know that there, and they are. And we go over these things. It isn't a matter. Maybe you won't learn something new, but you know what? It's like the word. It's like water. Water on the seed that's already in you makes it grow up and do better. I never get tired of hearing the same things. I never, you know, I have read through the New Testament. I have studied so many things. I've never went to a scripture and said, you know, I don't really care to hear that one again. You know, unless I'm really carnal or fleshly. See, they hadn't told me to straighten out. I don't want to hear that anymore. but you know, I look at the word. Why? The word's good. It waters what's in me and it keeps it, because it isn't. If you don't keep getting water in you on things of seed that's already been in you, it won't produce fruit. Go ask any farmer in this area what happens when it don't rain. Most Christians don't water their spirit. They don't water at all. You know, I water during the week too. I don't wait. You know, most people, they just have a dry whole week. And maybe they go to church and somebody, you know, they go and the priest comes down with his little thing and sprinkles some water on them. That's about as much as they get. Thank God they get that. Hallelujah. We want to look at this today, though, because we're going to follow in line. The Lord's going to speak speaking there. This is Jesus talking, so we can definitely learn from this. And in verse 39 of chapter 6, and this is Jesus, and it said, he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? Now, I want to say this. Now, I want you to go back because this is what we want to do. He's going to speak a parable. What did we find out with Jesus talking about the parable of the sower? What did he say about that? You remember Jesus told his disciples about the parable of the sower in Mark 4:13, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? All parables have to do with the word being planted in a person's heart, a person believing that word and acting on it. Every parable. You know, there's parables, people teach things out of it. They teach what it, about things of it being naturally. That's not what it's talking about. Every parable represents how to walk by faith, what faith is, what you do. Every parable. If you're going to hook up, you have to understand this principle about your heart, your spirit. This is place of faith. Faith is not in the head. Faith is not, you know, I get over the areas of the faith. I mean, I've studied it a lot, but I learned this. My head can get flaky at times. I don't care how much I know. You got to always stay in contact with your spirit. Always. Always. Wow, that's the life. You can't walk by faith and not walk out of your spirit. You don't walk by faith out of your mind. You walk by faith out of your spirit. That's how you do. So you walk along. See, we live in a world that's all kind of things. The world system has all kind of things. Many times we're operating contrary because we're, I don't know about you, I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm believing things that don't exist exist. I'm believing in a God you can't see that lives inside of me. I believe I'm a temple of God. And people say, well, you don't look like a temple of God. See, boy, it's not very good looking. I'll tell you, that temple needs some help. See, you can't see the real guy on the inside. He's glorious. He's glorious. God lives in a glorious temple. But see, that's where we're supposed to live. You know, most Christians and spirit-filled Christians don't walk by faith. They walk by what's in the world. They don't see themselves in what they are and walk. This is the walk of faith. We're walking in through here believing. Circumstances going on. Hallelujah. They can be changed. Things in my life can be changed. This is walking by faith. I see things that I don't like this way. Okay. Hallelujah. By faith, I can change it. If I don't know exactly what to do about it, I can go to the Word and the Word will speak to me about what I need to do to change. And we can step in by faith. So we're not cornered. The world's cornered. See, what if most people were, you know, when Biden was president, 99% of Christians were bound by his presidency. And they were because he didn't walk by faith. We know because he's complaining all the time. They didn't realize that they had the upper hand that they could live in victory and have it right. No, they walked around in doom and gloom. Look what he's doing. I want to tell you, watch what Ed's doing. Hallelujah. This is over on God's side. The faith side trumps that. You know, there's nations in this world that Christians live very victoriously and they don't have near the freedoms America has. But Americans live by what they see and call it faith. No, we got this one thing is I never got down and out. I have always prospered more. Wanda and I went through a really good prosperous time during the Obama administration while all the Christians were complaining. And God prospered us and things worked out good for us. Why? I didn't get on the bandwagon of look what he's doing and all this stuff. Hey, I was looking at what God's doing. Hallelujah. God has a plan for us and God has a plan for you. And we want to get over into this. There's a parable. And he said, it says, can the blind lead the blind? They'll both end up in the ditch. In other words, understand this about you and I. We can't lead anybody any further than we are. The light that we have. Do you understand that? And the light that you have is what's in your spirit. It's not what's in your head. You know, and let me just say this. I hear people saying, well, about, you know, and they're saying about, you know, we're getting back to common sense, you know, today and stuff. There's nothing about the kingdom of God that's common sense. There's no such thing as getting back to common sense. Because loads of the common sense, call themselves common sense people, I don't want to follow after them. If there's anybody, if I got any sense in my life, I got it from God. And so, you know, just because man changes their principles of things and we think are good doesn't necessarily make it godly. You don't become godly just because you did some nice stuff. And see, we need to take on a different type of thinking. See, you and I have a thinking. It's heavenly. It's something heavenly that we learn. We're operating on a different level. Sinners don't have common sense. And a lot of saints don't have common sense because they don't have God sense. You can't take people. You know, we wouldn't be in such a trouble today in the church world and the area, especially all that was done concerning the healing ministries and stuff, and Christians just flubbing through life in the areas of healing, just having a terrible time. Why? You know why? They don't have no common sense. No common sense. Now, see, I might say, but see, to the world, well, I live in common sense. I get up, go to work every day. Yeah, but that might not get you the things you really need in life. I do this, I do that. No, I have Bible common sense. You get your mind. There's a mindset to overcome, to get above. I'm sure hoping we have more something than just common sense. There's one thing about it. I know the Spirit-filled life is not common in the church. So I know this. Common sense don't reign in the church. I found out this Spirit-filled life is good common sense in the Christianity. This is common sense. This is the life to have. And see, let's get thinking right. Let's don't put on the world's thinking and put it on. I'll tell you, I want our people in government. I want our president to go to a higher level of thinking. Don't you? Well, I want to go to something higher. See, if you think you arrived, you've already lost. We want to go to something higher. And I want him to go to something. I want him to be blessed more. I want him to be able to bless others more. See, you can't bless others any further than you go. You're limited. You can limit yourself for helping and really displaying God's goodness. Now he goes on to say, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. So you see this, you can't go further than a teacher. This is why I always look for somebody that knows things more than me. Do you know what the average person does? And I'll just tell you, this is the exact truth. Most people even pick all their friends on their same level. This is why many people never increase. What they want to get around, I want a preacher that preaches, just what I believe. Well, I'll tell you what, I know this. I don't believe everything. Because I don't know everything. I need somebody that knows areas more than I do. Would you send your kid to a school where the teacher doesn't know any more than the kid? I mean, we're doing that today, I think. But anyhow, well, how are they going to learn? This is a church world. Do you know, I found this out. I heard Kenneth Hagin say it many years ago. He said, many preachers and pastors and churches are baby Christians. Well, when I heard that, I was a baby myself, and I thought, because if they could taught me anything, I'd have thought I knew something. But anyhow, as I went along, I found out I was right. They never really develop. They really can't tell people how to walk by faith. They don't know how to do it. They don't do it themselves. I found this over in a Spirit-filled area. People teaching healing, and there's pastors that never had divine healing one time in their life. Teaching a subject. Have never experienced it. They've always had to ever do things from the natural, and God's helped them, and that's nice. But see, if nobody ever reached the top, how do you tell people? You can talk about getting there, but you can't have confidence you can go there. How could you preach with confidence? See, we're not passing just information along. People can follow a lifestyle, and that's what you want people to be able to do. Can they really follow your life? Well, that's one question we have to ask, can they? Or will they end up in the same ditch that you and I are in? If we're in a ditch, hey, I don't want people to come to ditch I'm in. I don't. Hallelujah. But see, we must always develop. And then in verse 41, he says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck that's in your eye when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? He said, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So now understand this. He's talking in a parable. What's this thing about? See, this whole thing is about seeds and heart. This is about what's in you. You see, he said, the blind leading the blind. This is about, you can't go any further than you mature. The word of God in you developing and growing up and you acting on it. So if I'm blind and I lead another guy in the ditch in the same way, how can I get correcting things? How can we do that? You see, this is why the parable of the sower. Basically, this is telling us, Get the Word in you. Get the Word in you. Get it put into your spirit and believe it. And another thing, because he goes on and he adds to this parable, he goes on this and he says this. He said, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. In other words, so what's this? It's the fruit production. What? Remember the parable of the sower? We're supposed to produce fruit. You know, the majority didn't produce fruit, did they? So it's about fruit. In other words, my fruit, what manifests in my life, I can help others stay out of the ditch. I help me stay out of the ditch, and I help others stay out of the ditch. Getting the Word in my own spirit. He said, what? A tree. For a good tree, it bears good fruit, and a bad tree doesn't bear good fruit. So in other words, what's in my spirit, if it isn't good, it ain't going to produce what we want it to produce. It's not going to. So it's what we're putting in this inner man, the seeds that we're putting into us. Can you understand why Jesus said, you'll understand this more and more if you understand the parable of the sower. That's why Jesus said, I don't ever say anything the Father don't say. Why did he? There are words going into his spirit. I'm going to tell you what, if you're having trouble in an area, I will guarantee you, you better check out your mouth. What you've been saying. What have you been planting in your spirit? What have you been saying? You need to check that. See, I found out myself. I've gone along in life sometime thought, you know, things ain't going where I am, and I start checking myself. You know, what have I been putting in me? What have I been saying? Remember, you're saying words. You're going around and talking to the crowd about how bad everything is and everything. Yeah, it's this and that. Things are messed up. Things are squirrely as crazy out here. They are. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to have squirrely and crazy for me. Hallelujah. I mean, if they want squirrely and crazy, they can. They can speak their things, but I cannot join them in my heart. This is the direction I'm going. You know, let's say, well, they're going that way. I ain't going that way. This is the way we're going. We're going to follow this path. Why? It's the producing of fruit. And understand this. I see people sometimes, you know, that we know that the fruit, it says, you know, you can produce 30, 60, or 100 fold. I see people speaking wrong things and they're producing a great amount into their lives. Christians producing great amounts of it into their lives by not getting the right things in them, not saying the right things. I've had over the years, people can quote scriptures to you. They know the scriptures. But they're not walking in line with that. It's not what they're walking in line with. They don't expect any more in life than what other people naturally get. You know, I would never even go to a doctor if I only thought what I could naturally get. Why? Because you couldn't do it by faith. You should have a better outcome than everybody else. Well, what's the point of faith if you don't? Does it produce something more or does it just get by? See, we have a lot of wrong thinking in the church. We'd have very low expectation. We're just trying to make it. Oh, I'm making it good, just so I can have a little bit of fun now and then. No, that's not it. Let's have something better. Let's have something better. You know, I remember when I was a young Christian and Kenneth Hagin made the statement in his years how his family, his relatives knocked him about, you know, because they were all Baptists and that kind of stuff. And he went over among the Spirit-filled and talked in tongues. And they said, he done ruined the family. But I remember he talked about his one aunt after many years came to him and said, she said, we thought you were crazy, but she said, I've been watching you. She said, your family don't go through what we go through. She said, you don't have, she said, your kids ain't sick and you ain't sick all day. You don't have this stuff going on. And she said, I'm going to come down where you're ministering. I'm going to come down and listen to what you're talking about. Does anybody want to listen to what you want to talk about? Does anybody look and say, hey, man, you got something better? See, we should have something better. We should have a higher. When I heard that, I set myself a goal. I'm going somewhere where somebody looks and says, hey, you don't go through all the stuff everybody else goes through. And they cause Ed's weather. This is normal Christianity. This is the way Christianity is supposed to go. But see, we have a low level. We have been preached. We have listened to people bring to us a low level Christianity today. That is a get by. We're just trying to be nice. We're not trying to be victorious. We're being nice. We're not overcoming. We're being nice. We got to get down to the point. No, let's live this victory life. Hallelujah. Let's live this because that's the nice life. The life of victory is nice. You know, it's just like, you know, Trump came in and he saw and he said about, you know, we can't win wars with the army we have. Why? You know, it looked like an army, but it wasn't. You don't want to take it to war because they'll get their skirts dirty. You know, you can't be doing that. You know, it's hard living with high heels and a skirt on in a foxhole. But he knew, you can't have an army like this. In other words, there's a wisdom to having an army we didn't have. There's a wisdom to succeed as a Christian, and it's been removed from the church. They even read, write scriptures and say, but you know what? It's all just sort of nice to get by. No! Let's stop and say, hey, we've been missing it. We're telling people, y'all just believe the word. Knock off the junk, believe the word, and stand up. You know, we were singing, stand up and praise him. You know, many people, they may be standing up on the outside, but inside they're sitting. Stand up. Let's get up. Hallelujah. Let's pick this thing up some. Glory to God. Let's go to a higher level. Verse 44. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. Now there again. Think again what he's talking about. Seeds planted. What fruit am I producing out of my spirit? What's coming out of my spirit? What's producing into my life? What do I believe and I'm saying and things and it's coming to pass? What is it? This is what he's asking. See, there's people out here and they'll say, you know, I'm a good person. Show it by your fruit. Do we have the fruit of the Bible or do we have fruit that we say from our world system, people are good, they're nice? Generally, that's Christianity today. It is identified with what the world calls good. The Bible don't call it good. It's not Bible good. It's man's good. And see, we identify as getting, you know, I'm blessed, you know, and people say, well, I'm blessed. And they have things in their life that ain't blessing at all. And see, we need to get around and thinking. And see, this is one thing God wants to bring us back. This stuff's the truth. The Bible's the truth. We need to take the Word of God. It'll take you to a level above. Why? If we want to get this world out of the ditch, we can't be walking around the ditch with them. Amen. We're going to have something better to offer. And we can't offer them things we can't have. We offer them things that we know works in our lives. These things work. Hallelujah. This is the truth. Now, listen what he says. He more gets back to a clarity on this thing at 40, verse 45. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. Notice he went back to the heart. This is the place, the ground. The seeds in the ground. Out of your heart produces the good things. And what? An evil man out of the evil treasure his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. See, this is all about the parable of the sower. Speaking words, heart producing. It's the parable of the sower. This is about faith. Speaking words. Number one, you don't put right things in your spirit. Your mouth is pumping out things and saying things. If you want to change, I'm going to tell you, majority of your change is going to come from your voice and not preachers. Amen. See, I may preach and faith comes to you, but I'm going to tell you what. You go around talking the wrong thing, and you know what? You and the devil will steal it right out of your spirit. See, many people hear stuff, and it's just immediately stolen out. Because that doesn't become their belief. They go on talking their other stuff. You know, you can't hear something spoke over here once and you say 10 times over here something else. Because your spirit hears you talking. See, we've left these things. You know, we were big, when I came in the kingdom, it was big on this word stuff and about what you talk and what you say. And I'm going to tell you what, we walked in a higher level than people do today. We walked much higher level. Much higher level than they do today. I see this among all the groups in Spirit-filled. I mean, even Rhema people, you know, around, I'm going to tell you, I'm just amazed at them. They don't walk in the level that we had. They don't walk in the place we had. Because, wow, these things aren't, but we're trying to be really nice and make everybody just feel good. This is not about feel good. This is to become the victors. We're an army. We're an occupational army, and the church is not an army today. The church is just sitting in pews. The church is not what, the church is just these people down here. And boy, you know, I'll tell you, our government's trying to steal our rights. Good grief. Well, I'm going to sit in the corner and cry and say, God, give me a president that does something for me because I ain't doing nothing. I'm a socialist. I'm waiting for somebody else to get it for me. You know, that's what most people want in a church today. They're not a participator. They want a church that does something for them. And they don't do nothing for the church. They're socialists. You know? I don't really get in the word and find it. You know, you go study pastor and then you come and tell me what it says. And you know, if things go wrong, you pray for me. Say, do you pray for me? No, I'm too busy. I'm done. Socialists. That's what socialists are. Lord told me some years ago. He said the church in America, and he said all of them. He said become socialists. It ain't what they can put into something, it's what they can get out of. That's it. Really, look, somebody do something I can get out of, you know. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll tell you what, Lord's just been really dealing with me about bringing, people need to come up to this place of victory. Come up to this place. Hey, we have something. We're not trying to get it. We got it. Hallelujah. Living in this life, taking a hold of something. And we have to come and walk here. Now, I know this is not popular. I mean, even Spirit-filled church, they don't want to hear these messages. They don't want to hear this stuff, you know. People have a hard time. Well, they have a hard time because they've had nothing but lousy pastors who sit around trying to keep everybody happy so they can get their checks and build a bigger building to have more people in unbelief. Believe me, I taught in a Bible school in a church. 3,000 people, and they were the hardest people to deal with on the subject of faith, and with the rhema pastor and everything else. But I'll tell you what, they were baby Christians. And they didn't want to go above that. All they ever wanted, and the pastor said, I want a big church. I never heard him ever say one time he wanted a godly church. He wanted a powerful church. I never heard him say one time ever, I want big. And you know what? He had big. But you know, anybody ever grew up and got spiritual always leaves that church. Always. I've had more people come to me and say, yeah, we don't go there. Oh, don't you go there. No. We got to go where we get fed. They're not. She's like kids. Just keep giving candy all the time. They'll just come back, man. You know, they don't know. See, they don't know it's going to rot their teeth. They don't know it's going to make them sick after eating it all the time. They don't know that until eventually it will. And then they're going to try to get it. That deliverance they talked about, who nobody can get it for them. Nobody can help them with it. And they'll just walk around for 20 years. We're just trusting God to overcome this. We're just trusting God. Just the same things over and over. Let me say this concerning here. I had written this down. It says, a person who can't produce the fruit of God's word in an area of their life is because they didn't allow the word to develop in their hearts, or they let other things in to choke the word so it can't bear fruit. This is what they've done. These are the things. See, we got to constantly, you know, I always think about the things that I know people just take it over in the areas where Paul's taught was to writing the church at Corinth dealing with communion. But he talked about judging yourself. He said many are weak, sick, and die prematurely. Why? They don't judge themselves. Everybody thinks that means, well, judge, you did some great sin. People, Christians don't realize this. They get into sin because they don't follow the word. And you know what? They don't see themselves, I'm doing anything. They think that, well, I cannot follow the word and I'm all right. And Jesus is just happy with that. They don't realize they get themselves into places. And this is right. Judging oneself. We got to constantly judge ourselves. I've learned over the years, if I'm moving in an area and it ain't changing and working and I'm staying, I've learned over time. I start, okay, where am I missing it? God never misses it. It ain't somebody else's fault. See, that just threw out two things that people pick. So if you're picking them, you think somebody else is your problem or anything, you forget it. You ain't going nowhere. You know, I learned, you know. God taught me real quick when I got saved. Wanda ain't my problem, no matter what she does. My problem's it. You know. That's why when you look in the mirror, you don't see the other person. You always end up seeing you. See, when you look in the Bible, because the Bible's a mirror of the Word that you look into. Do you know you don't see other people in the mirror? These people that do. Well, if that other guy straightened out, you got such a plank in your eye. My God, it's a redwood. It's a 500-year-old redwood stuck in your eye. No, the Bible you're reading is for your mirror. That's what God taught me when I started off, you know. This is why a lot of people get skittish about going in the Word, because when they do look, they see themselves and they don't like it, so let's not go back there. I'm going to listen to the preacher who tells me I'm all right. The whole thing is, God does these in getting the Word in us. We can produce fruit. And this is the whole thing. This is the exciting part about it. You know, a farmer looks for a great year of rain and sunshine and stuff. You know, harvest time, this is money time. This is bucks in the pocket time. This is paying off any of the loan, paying off the, whatever it is, and we got bucks. You need to understand the way it operates. If you're not producing things, don't be surprised. You're not, you know, you're not getting the benefit of the kingdom. We're not getting the reward, even though it belongs to you. I'll tell you what, God pays good. Hallelujah. And He's in the business of helping you produce fruit. Glory to God. You'll always produce fruit when you believe, say, and do. You'll always believe, you'll always produce fruit. See, we need to understand is getting out into our saying, as like I said, when you get something and you, comes to you by faith and you know it's the Word of God, you need to get those things on your mouth. That's faith. Faith is not released out of your spirit. Faith produces nothing. You couldn't even get born again without a confession. You need to come to the things. If you're not talking it, you ain't acting in faith. You ain't walking by faith. What you're doing is just, many people, I'm believing. See, this is here. I believe God wants me to prosper. And a preacher will say, well, just put money in the offering plate. I'm sorry. You ain't doing the Word. Oh, it works for him. But he ain't even operating in faith. That ain't by faith doing it either, because it ain't in line with the Word. You got to be able to believe. What are you believing for? What can you believe for? It's like I always use Kenneth Hagin as an example. When the Lord talked to him about the fact of giving, Kenneth Hagin was a giver. He was given. He was a tither, and he was giving offerings and getting poorer. Well, he believed in giving, but he needed some other things straightened out in his mind and thinking about concerning giving. And the Lord told him this. He said, don't pray for money. Don't pray about money anymore. He said, like you do. Don't pray for it. He said, you claim whatever you want or need. In other words, you have to claim what you can believe for. In your heart, how much money can you actually believe for that God will bring to you? Let me just say this. No matter what you put in the plate, you ain't getting back no more than you believe for. That's why you want to develop. God puts a development of spirit first, not the actual doing. Preachers are teaching, go do the doing, and the people don't have it within them to believe. So they don't go as far as they can. And this is the Lord talked to me back in 2014. People don't go as far as they can go in getting stuff from God. Because they're told just if they'll put money in the plate, it'll work. That's not how it works. That's part of it. That's the acting part. See, this is what I found out. When I found out how this thing works, I'm going to tell you, my giving ran off of my faith. When I found out I can go as far as I can believe, well, it's like, I think, well, I'm building myself to be able to believe for some bucks. And when I got myself over where I could believe for some bucks, I could give bucks. It wasn't because I didn't have to wait for a bunch of bucks to come in. I gave it because, man, I know I can get it back. I know I can get this thing. I know this will work. See, most people are trying to, I don't give to get anymore. I give because I know my spirit can grab a hold and bring back what I need. See, how much fruit can you develop in that area of believing? See, this is what you have to find out. Have you developed yourself to be able to believe God for higher amounts of money? See, that's fruit. That's fruit in there. What I can believe for. See, he's got to say believe for 100-fold. I'm going to tell you what. God may give somebody sometime or another 100-fold. But most of the time it's not because they have any kind of believing in her. My words, if I wish as much money as I've given that wanted, I wish I could believe that I'd get 100 times that back. My spirit can't reach that far. I can't, I'm not exactly over there that I can believe just for billions right now. Because that's what I'd have to do. But you know what? I'm stepping where I can, and I'm making it work where I can. I'm believing out as far as I can. And that's what we do. You keep developing that. You keep taking care of and watering that seed in you concerning these areas and believing. I'm going to tell you, your faith is going to reach out further every time. It's going to go for something greater. It's going to go for something bigger. But I'm going to tell you this. You can't keep standing out there if it's never produced anything and tell people you're believing. It's going to have to produce. Because one thing, see, I find this, when I step out into an area and once that produces, boy, that leads me, well, okay, we're taking a hold on, then we're next one. Don't be a fool and go try something beyond where your faith at. Work on the inner man first. Get that inner man ready. Get him ready to step out and grab something. All of us, I don't care how good of a life you have now, you need to be doing some faith about your money. I don't care if you think you have enough and you're living good. You aren't living God good. You're living just like the world does. Just let's get by. Let's do this. No. You need to have yourself out for more. There's more. See, there's more I need to be able to give. I think about other things and even ministries, other people, and I think, boy, you know, I just want more money to give to them. I just want to be a part. I just want to do that. And I'm not doing it believing for money for me. You know, we're doing good. I'll always end up money for me. You know, he does exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think. And you know what? I'll tell you about this. God always gives me more than I ask for. Because he always goes exceedingly abundantly above. Always. When he dealt with me back in 2014 and told me to start to believe in certain things, every time money came in, it was more than what I set myself to. He always went exceedingly abundantly above. He always went beyond the mark. He never said, well, hey, Ed, we're 10 bucks short. That's just this time. That's just the way it is. He was always over. And so, see, we need to get in this life of faith. Our faith is always out there. Our faith is something that runs every day. It's a walk of life. Hallelujah. See, I learned to do that concerning my health. My health, I do not wait to get sick. My faith and my talking about health is out all the time. It's a way of life. Hallelujah. See, you have to do these things. You got to build it in your spirit. And then what you're saying is about what's inside of your spirit. Not what's inside of your head. This is one thing that I found this. The more I could operate out of my spirit, the more my head came in line. Because then my flesh saw, you know, this stupid stuff he's doing is working. I said, well, let's quit arguing with him about it. The flesh finally goes, sits down and says, he ain't going to listen to me anyhow. Say, might as well quit blabbing. He ain't gonna listen to us. Glory to God. Well, now I want to read verse 46 here. Let's go over to verse 46. It says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Isn't that a wonderful statement? See, he's went through all this thing down through here to this. In other words, the things that the Lord's talked about, we need to start practicing those things. Now, we just think doing a work. No, getting the word into your spirit. Begin to speak it with your mouth, saying it. This is the stuff the Lord taught. The Lord told us, you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and doubt not in your heart, but believe those things you say come to pass. You'll have what you say. And most Christians never practice that. Why do you call me Lord? Don't do what I tell you to do. Why do you look at the things going on and say, boy, I tell you, I just hate to see this happen. Have you spoken to it? Yeah, I've said a lot of bad things about it. But see, you got to get it in your heart. Do you know, concerning even with weather and things and stuff going on, you know, people today, I mean, you don't have people talk to the weather. You know, the disciples, they go, my God, who's this guy that he can even talk to the wind and the sea? It obeys him. And you know, we sit down and say, ain't that something? I'm sorry, we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to do that. He was operating as a man in the earth under the anointing of God. I guess we didn't get one. Whatever we bound on earth is not bound in heaven, and whatever we loose, it must have just been for Peter. But see, we don't speak about things. We don't talk about changing things here. We don't do it. It's like they used to say a lot, like I remember Charles Capps used to say, and even Brother Hagin, he says, God's given us the ability to have what we say, and all we do is say what we have. We're happy with just what we got, or we hate just what we got. One or the other. And we just say, it's like, do you want to change? Do you want change? I want change. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, he said, verse 4, he said, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he's like. So in other words, the guy who what? Hears. He hears. Now remember, this whole thing, this parable is about the heart of man. It's heart. Hears. So this is what's in his heart. This is what this guy's like. I'm going to tell you what he's like, he said. This is the guy. He hears, and what does he do? I'm going to show you this guy here. He's a hearer, then he does it. He doesn't hear and say, boy, that's wonderful. I believe it. Listen, he's like a man building a house who dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the floods arose and the stream beat venomously against that house and could not strike it, for it was founded on a rock. Now, there is so much lousy teaching on this. Because most people, yeah, well, we're founded on the rock, Jesus Christ. You can be born again and the devil run over you all the time. That's not what this is talking about. See, if you remember the parable of the sower, I don't care how much you're born again, don't mean the devil ain't going to eat your lunch. This is about the parable of the sower. What is the rock you build on? Your inner man, your spirit, the words of God in your spirit. I don't care if you got born again. You don't have the word in your spirit. I'm going to tell you, when trouble comes, trouble's going to leave tire tracks all over you. That's what's going to happen. It's you get the word of God into your spirit. He said, why did he say, hear what I say, and then he does it. Do what he said. Plant words in your heart. Get words planted in your spirit. Get them in there. Then when you believe what it says, what does it do? First action. Start to say those things. Start doing. Say unto this mountain. When you pray, what do? You believe you receive it, then you'll have it. You don't believe it when it shows up. That's not faith. See, these are actions, and I can just tell you this. This is why most Christians fail. We walk around, I believe. Well, say all the believing you want to do, believing. That don't matter. What are you doing? Are you confessing? What are you saying about the things you want to overcome in? What are you speaking about that? Well, the doctor said, well, that's good. I mean, he is God for sure, so we want to get that and put it in the Psalms. And we'll read it on Sunday mornings. What the doctor said. So we all can have a good confession. You know, speak what you believe. You know, if I go to a doctor and he tells me something, I don't go around trumping just what he said. I go say what I believe about it. This is what I believe. You know? Now, he's telling me naturally. He's telling me naturally because why? You need to understand this. The doctor, 99% of the people he deal with are operating naturally. So he talks to people from that standpoint. He ain't talking. You know, I can say this. I've had doctors and I've just tell them about the way I look at things and see. And you know what? I just found this. There's doctors just excited to hear about it. Say, I wish I'd get other people on this. They're always heading in that direction. What? But see, doctors have to talk to people because that's in most people. They need to, because they ain't going to do nothing. You got to get, you either give me a pill to overcome or a pill to do it, whatever it is. Other than that, I ain't doing nothing. If you can't cure me and I can't eat 7 pies a day, too bad. You need to make a drug to get the fat off of me. You know? I like pie. But you know, you know what you do? You got to build yourself. You got to do something. If you want to overcome your flesh, you got to get something in your spirit. You will never, you will need something natural. You can't bring your, we do by faith. It requires getting something in your spirit and beginning to talk in a direction and then begin to act on those words that you're saying. Now here's something that Christians don't like, because your flesh is going to complain to you about it. Well, you know, I'm just having a hard time. What's the flesh is always going to do that. The fact that my flesh would whine, that don't surprise me. It's stupid anyhow. If I let it alone, it'd have killed me 10 years ago. See, we need to deal with these things and say, no, you get something, you become strength, and our strength, if the Holy Spirit's in us to quicken us, He's in your spirit. If your spirit is shut off, He ain't quickening. He does it through us. He quickens me by me speaking the word. He puts stuff in me. I get stuff in me. Hey, say this. Speaking out of your spirit. That's how He quickens me and makes me alive. He don't quicken me and make me alive, me talking other stuff. That doesn't work out. See, we need to get over the parable of the sower. We need to get in line with this. This guy, you know, we look at the parable of the sower. In the parable of the sower, we find there was different ones. The ones that succeeded here with this, they were the ones, it says this in Mark 4:20, but those are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30, 60, or 100 fold. They accept it. I like Matthew's version of that scripture says, Matthew 1:23 says, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit in abundance, some 100, some 30, some 60. You see, this guy, this is the parable of the sower. The guy whose house stood did that. That's how his house stood. His house stood because he became good ground. He had good seed in him, what was planted in him. And it produced. See, I can turn around and mess my soil up with my mouth. And it won't produce. It won't do it. Because we got the next guy who in verse 49 of Luke 6 says, but he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Why? Well, if we went back over to Mark 4, verse 16, it says, we have one group. These likewise are those, he says, the ones sown in stony ground, who when they heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. Wasn't that good? But what happens? They have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time, and afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. In other words, immediately they don't produce fruit. What happens to these ones down here? They hear the word and they say it's great. What happens to them? He said about what is their problem? They don't have root in themselves. You know how you get a seed to take a root? You protect that thing. You know, in a natural, you know, farmers do things. They go out here, you know, they don't want weeds growing up. They don't want things. They keep that seed so it can grow up. They fertilize and do those things. See, this is what we do. You get the word in us. You want to fertilize it? You got to water it? What do? You start saying it. You take the time to get that into you. Why? Most of the time, the failure is number one is this. Person don't get the root in them. They don't get the They go out here and all they got is they went down here and bought some flowers in one of those places that had those little things, the roots on them that big, and they put it in the ground, and you know, they don't ever take care of it, do nothing. And you know, I'm just going to tell you this, I found this out. You can pull those lots of times out of the ground and at the end of the year, and that root system has hardly done nothing in there. It's about the same size. If you wanted to go something bigger, you have to go out there, fertilize it, do things to it for that root system to grow. This is a lot of, the word ain't growing in people. See, they taught all kind of stuff out of these things. But what it's all talking about is faith. It's about getting the word into your spirit and it producing something. And when you produce in doing, then you act like it's true. You act like it's so. We also had, you know, this people here. The one, it says, in verses, you know, 18, it says, also said this, and those who are the ones sown among thorns, they are the ones who hear the word. Okay, where did I slid out of there. Okay, over here we are. These ones who heard the word. It says, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word. And it becomes unfruitful. See, you know, it's like things that the Bible says, tells the Christian, the love of money is the root of all evil. The Bible tells us things, thorns are growing. See, people get over and they start in life. There's things that they want more. You know, Jesus said this. If you love your mom and dad or you love your brothers, you love anybody more than me, he said, you ain't worthy of me. Many, many Christians, they got thorns growing up in them. They think they're good Christian, nice, but their families are first, not God. God ain't first. I'm going to tell you what, to go do what the Lord says or go to church, I'm going to tell you the family needs something. We run first. Oh, I know. They'll stone you in the churches today saying that stuff. I'm used to it. Throw rocks. I don't care what you say. You listen to what the Lord says first. You know, it's just like in marriages. You know, you got the Lord's first and your maid is second and the kids ain't. It's Bible. See, the husband is supposed to love the wife like Christ loves the church. So she has to be second on the agenda. The wife is supposed to be submissive to the husband. Not submissive to the kids. We don't do the word and we want America to flourish and we want all these things. The church can't have it because the church don't do the word. All we do is we give lip service to I believe it. And it don't work. It don't work. They said, well, I wonder why. I found this. When I walk close to Jesus, things get taken care of. The Lord told me this, and I practiced it ever since. When he told me I was only born again a couple months, he said to me, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of your family. A lot I haven't had to go to, he's taken care of. I can't serve him and take care of everything else. This is why people today in the church world don't serve the Lord. Because they started back some years ago, they stopped Sunday night services so Christians could spend more time with their family, and they didn't anyhow. And when that happened, I made mention, and they stoned me. I said, this ain't going to turn out well. Christians are going to just go to church less. You watch. And then we'll have to cut services down in time and things because they won't be able to take more than a little bit at a time without choking. Because life is so full of what I got to do. And all I got to take care of. Woo! What a preacher, I tell you. I tell you, they won't be on TV now. The calls will be coming in. I will tell you what, the day will happen. There's things coming that ain't good. It's not going to be good for so many in the church world. It ain't going to be good. We can't neglect God. Don't stand around yelling for God to move if you ain't a moving. See, we got to get it in us. We got to get it in us. It's like the Lord said this to Randy Greer, and I believe it 100%. He said, the church keeps yelling at me for a move of God. He said, My God, he said, I'll do anything anybody wants. He said, but the church ain't doing nothing. They ain't doing anything. He said, this ain't got to do with me sending a move of God. This is the church. They want a move of God as spectators. You know, let's go to the stadium and let's get the gladiators out there in the middle there and let them do it. And we'll watch. And I'm a good cheerer. See, we don't fight battles. We just watch them. Oh, makes people nervous. James wrote this. James, one of my favorite pastors, James. James the first chapter, verse 22, James said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. See, many Christians blame the devil or something for that. No, self-deceived. Not doing what the Bible says to do. Not getting those planting the seeds in their spirit. They're not listening to enough to get enough seeds planted. And then when they do get seeds planted, they aren't around speaking. They're not speaking. They're not saying those things. That's not the things they're saying. They're not fortifying themselves. They're not watering in their own spirit. They're not doing these things. They're self-deceived. You know, if anything that I noticed of this happened over the years, I would go to, major conferences and stuff and meetings and stuff at different places. And, you know, you'd have really great meetings and that stuff. And, man, God would move and there's so much good stuff said. But you'd always find this. You'd come back the next year, the majority of the crowd's in the same condition they were when they were the year. Boy, I couldn't wait to get back to here. Why? They never acted on what they heard. See, no matter how many good meetings you go to, you only get what you act on the word with. It isn't how much I can sit and listen. You know what happens? It's just like me pulling up the table, you know, and I'm not doing anything, and my size keeps growing. Why? Because I'm not doing anything. This is Christian. We're fat in knowledge. And that's it. We're fat in knowledge. We're not doers. Faith muscle is developed through the doing. Just like naturally, you can read all the exercise books and watch all the exercise things on television. You can go online and watch it all. You know what? Your muscles don't grow till you do. Faith is exactly the same way. Strength is built in faith in the doing, not in the believing. You can only go so far with believing. You'll come to a dead end spot where you can't reach across a certain place anymore. Why? You don't have the spiritual strength to go there. See, I learned that as a young Christian. That's why I'm always amazed at different people. You know, so many people meet, like they, you know, either went to Rhema or they say, I really like Brother Hagin's teaching. And I think, you never listened to him. If you listened to him, you'd be a whole different person. What I learned from him is in the doing. You had to do the word to get strong. You know, they always told us kids, you eat the right food, you're going to get big and strong. Well, I got big. Strength does not come through eating the right food. Strength is putting the energy of that food to work. Because what you don't use in work, it turns to sugars in your body and then to fat. Believe me, I know about the fat thing. And you know what? If you want to lose weight, you got to do something that uses that fat up. It don't just disappear unless you go get liposuction. And then you just have this big flab around you. But you have to put it to work, you know, whether you like it. There's a system that must be done. And so it's just like spiritually, there is no difference. It seems like today they're trying to get people. This is why, you know, I say America is so fat and everything. I was really amazed, you know, the last studies are done. You know, Americans, the Europeans live 7 years longer than Americans do. Average is like 6 or 7 years, something like that, longer. And you know, I can tell you why. See, America's had a lot of gospel preached here. America's been and hasn't walked into light. God judges America much harder than he does Europe. Europe's in trouble because they ain't got many Christians. But here in America, Christians ain't doing nothing. Too many. You know, God's dead. You know, none of the miracles, all that doesn't go anymore. We're just down here. We're, you know, an old pilgrim. I got a pack on my back and we're just loading along. Can't wait till Jesus gets back so I can get out of here. Say, well, you know, I hope Jesus comes soon. I hope he comes soon. Say, yeah, me too. I hope he comes soon. And what you need to understand is a lot of Christians are going to leave here and because Jesus is coming, they're going to die. Because he won't do the word, the devil's going to kill people. And the devil's doing it like crazy already, taking people out before their time. And the only reason it's going to is because they're not listening to what Jesus said. Most of the church doesn't know. The parable of the sower is no longer than just, well, I'm a Christian. And is it? No. It don't. Becoming a Christian's at the start. That's the starting line, folks. That ain't the finish. You know? And you know, we're not running. We don't, you know, we need to understand as Christians. We don't run, you know, this out here, this, you know, 100-yard dash. We're running hurdles. And most Christians, they start off and they get a hurdle. It's the same things in the parable of the sower. Oh man, I gotta jump this stuff. I'm going to the sideline, you know, I'm gonna go sit down. Must be a stone in my shoe or something here. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, we're jumping hurdles. And you know what? I'm jumping higher hurdles than I ever had. I'm able to jump hurdles. When I came in the kingdom, I mean, it's like, wow, what you can jump over. I mean, just to have peace in my life, that was a hurdle, was a huge one. See, most Christians, they're out here and this whole idea. No, I'm sorry. You know, and we're in one of these, we're in a different course than the world. We're running out here. The world has a lousy course to run, you know, but it's a failure course. That's what it is. We're on a course. You know, I'm going to tell you, sometimes your hurdle is going to be while you're running uphill. But you know what? Grace, you'll jump it. If you will keep putting the word inside of you and you will keep speaking what the word says and you'll start acting like it's true, I'm going to tell you what, you'll jump it. I don't care how steep. I don't care how steep that incline gets. I don't care how big that hurdle is. You'll jump it. You'll jump it. The word works. It always works. You just keep putting it in your spirit. Putting it in. Keep saying the right things. Keep speaking the right things. The revelation you have about things every day. Speak about things. Speak about stuff. Speak about yourself. You're not going to change going around trying to change everybody else. Amen. Speak about yourself. Hallelujah. Talk about who you are. I'll tell you, it'll change you when you realize who you really are. Amen. You won't say a lot of other things because it'll naturally, you don't have to struggle to try to quit doing it. You'll naturally quit doing it because, man, this is what I am. I don't care about that anymore. Those things don't bother me anymore. It doesn't matter what they're doing. Why? Because I know who I am. Jesus never walked around worried what everybody else was doing. He walked as a man in the earth. He didn't worry about what everybody else was doing. He didn't say, well, you're going to have a hard time making it here because we got a lousy king. Don't you know that? They need to give us a right to vote. So I can be successful. Woo! My God. You Presbyterians get pretty quiet. Then we talk these things. But I'm going to tell you, this is victorious. And you can do it. You can do it. This is not some kind of crazy labor. God didn't make a system that not anyone, that it's only gifted for a certain few. The least in the kingdom can do it. The least. We just don't do it because we become socialistic. We're waiting for, think we have a God who's a socialist. Just because I have a need, he wants to meet it. Maybe he does, but don't mean you're going to get anything met. Well, he loves, so he's just going to take care because he loves me. So we turn around and take people, do the same. Well, I love them, so no matter what they do right or wrong, I'm just going to take care of them. And we teach them more socialism. And we call it Christian love. Oh, we're so darn loving, my God! You don't have to change, we just keep taking. We teach more socialism. You need to tell people, there's principles. You want God to deliver you? There's principles you're going to have to follow. You know, you slip and fall, I'll help you up. But you just keep running the same dumb thing and slipping and falling. After a while, you're just going to have to stay in a ditch. Till you decide you want to change, because I can't keep you out of the ditch all the time. I just had a minister just gave me a call. And you know what? I mean, and this guy, wonderful, wonderful man, spiritual. And you know what? And I talked to him about it, because he has done nothing but keep his family out of the ditch. His family, you know, supposed to be Christians and, you know, serving God, but all he does is run. I mean, they always have a disaster all the time. There's a disaster all the time. And I told him, I said, you need to sit your family down and tell them. Because I'm just going to say this. His wife and especially his one daughter are alive today because of him and not because of their faith at all. And they call themselves faith people. It's him. I told him, I said, you've been keeping them alive. And I said, I just want to let you know this. You can't keep doing it. It runs out. God has been very gracious. His wife even admitted to him. She said, you know, I'm only alive because of you. And I said, she's exactly right. And I said, but you need to sit them down and tell them. Because I said, they think that somehow they're walking following God. I said, they're not. They don't live by walk by faith. I said, there's other things have entered in. And they're following things and trying to do things and ain't following what God's called them to do. You need to understand this. If people don't do the will of God, they're out of the will of God. And you can't be out of the will of God and in fellowship with God. It's an impossibility. And I told him, I said, you know, and we prayed together. But I told him, I said, you know, he's there and he's one of those positions, you know. You know, he said, well, yeah, I know. He said, try to talk to their stuff. They just don't want to listen and hear. And I said, yeah, I know. People don't want to hear things. You know, the truck's about to run over. No, I'm okay. I'm doing all right. No, you're not. I know. I've warned people already and had them die. Warned them. Why? I don't want to hear that. That's not me. No, I'm doing good and going downhill. I'm trusting God and this is really working out great. Say, okay. Understand this, the curse don't come without a cause. You know, all of us run into trouble. But you know, just like in their instance, and I sat down and talked to him, I said, you have one disaster right after the other. I said, there's nothing Christian about this. And I said, we're not yelling at the devil. I said, it's in their doing. I said, if there's things they don't change, the devil can do this. It's not his thing. They're encouraging it by what they do. And you know what? What they do, they think is good. But it ain't God. Worry's a killer. Let me just say this. Worry, don't let worry get into your spirit. You ain't producing nothing. If anything that I've seen walked in my Christian life is Christians identify worry as being thoughtful and caring. And they ain't. Their prayer lives are governed by worrying about things and worrying about people. I don't pray people, I worry them about them. I take them to God and say, God, you're good. I know, you know, I ain't going to worry about it. Because why? I ain't faith if I am. And loads of Christians are into where they're worrying about this or worried about that. And worry is I want to tell you what, you can pray night and day. If you're into worry, your immune system naturally will go downhill. And you won't keep things off of you. You can eat all the right food you want. And they'll put you in the casket with your carrots and your other vegetables and that stuff, but you'll be in the casket. Worry is a killer. It is, you know, I'm not normally going, but let me just say this because I learned this from Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin talked about it. Brother Hagin said in a church, he said, you try to deal with Christians about worry. He said, ain't nothing makes people madder than you try to deal with them about their worry. He said, if you had somebody in the church who says a drug dealer, you dealt with it, all the people you cheering. But when you start dealing with them, worry, because he said you have more worriers than you do drug dealers. But you can't deal with it. He wasn't being mean when he said it. He was a guy that loved to get people healed, loved to get people delivered. And lots of times he couldn't. Because, you know, people don't want to admit that they worry about things. They're worried about this and that. And they don't worry leads you to the things that you think you love certain things, and really you ain't loving it. You're just worried about it. But you'll get perverted in your mind when you leave your spirit. Your flesh will convince you that you're doing a good job. Your flesh ain't your champion, folks. It ain't your deliverer. Because I know this. I know about worrying. I grew up in a home of a mama who worried about anything under the sun. She'd get into worry about it. And I just decided, man, you know, when I got saved, I thought, man, you know, this worry thing, because, you know, you get around this and this is what people do, you know. And I came over into Christianity and I thought, oh, well, this stuff over here, this will be good to these spirit-filled people. And I found out they were worrying as much as a lot of other people. They were worried about stuff. Always worried about things. I'll never forget here in Lebanon. This is back in the 80s. And they, up at Coleman's Park, they found somebody had made a satanic altar. Well, you'd have thought the whole world was going to fall. The Christians just worried as crazy about that. Somebody did. Oh my God, they're worshiping Satan and we got to get prayer together. My God, the devil's taking over. Well, they waste their time praying. I said, so what? The devil has an altar. My God. I said, he's always had altars. That he's always had. There's always dummies. He can't overtake Ed.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to pray. We got to get rid of that altar. Why don't we pray for those, love those individuals and start praying, God, you know, move on their hearts. No, let's throw a fit and get it in the newspaper about us wonderful Christians. Let's go get 10 planks in our eyes, and then we're going to go. We're supposed to be reaching the lost. No, let's criticize them. We're living in a crazy world, and the only thing that can keep you honest and straight is the Word of God in your spirit and saying the words of God and keep doing it. Because number one, you can't do the Word by faith until you got it in you and you've been saying it, you've been building. Then you become into the doing that brings forth wonderful fruit. And we just got to come to the parable of the sower is true.
Amen.
Hey, folks. Jesus telling them, there's storms, there's things that come along. What is your foundation? Well, I'm saved. Well, the fact that Jesus is your foundation, you think that's going to work? Well, I'm going to tell you how many washed away, I buried numbers of washed away Christians. I'm not criticizing it, but there's a thing. Your strength, your foundation is the Word of God in you. In your spirit, that you believe, that you're confessing, that you're saying. And it produces fruit that house will stand when the storm comes. That fruit don't get washed away. That fruit stands. That fruit will uphold you. You need to become confident in yourself. Some of you sitting here, you got a lot more in you than you have been speaking out of you and saying. And you know what? It's not going to come a reality of who you are till you start saying that you got the Word in you. It isn't something you go hide somewhere. No, it's something you speak. You know? I talked with, you know, I go out, you know, I'm doing walking and that stuff I do, but over the years I do this. I'd quote scriptures. I'd say scriptures to myself while I'm running. I'd run and say, you know, I'd run along and your body's feeling tired. The Lord's the strength of my life. I have loads of strength. Glory to God. God's in me quickening my flesh. Body, you're just going to have to keep running. You can keep doing that because, wow, the Lord's in me. I can run. I talk. That's all I did. People say, you talk to yourself. Sure enough, I do. I'm confessing the Word. If you ain't, you're a problem. They said you're crazy. If you talk to yourself, I'm just going to tell you, you're crazy if you don't. You've done listen to the world and they've talked you into something to keep your mouth shut and the devil has won. No, I'm going to talk. I'm going to say things. I don't care if they say Ed's crazy. Yeah, well, leave me alone. I'm happy. I'm going to stay nutty. Let me alone. If this is craziness, I want some more. See, talk and say. See, to meditate means to mutter. You speak. You don't meditate if you ain't doing that. You never meditate. Meditate ain't thinking. I found this. Revelation comes when I speak. See, I found this out about preaching. That's why the Lord told me, He said He wants me to start teaching more from inspiration. When I start to talk, revelation comes to me of what to do. It's a wonderful thing. And if you find it out, you will be amazed what God will reveal to you. Amen. When you start letting that rise up in you. You know, I remember back then, you know, we'd go, like say, down to Ken Copeland's meetings and that stuff when he was down in Philadelphia, and they just talk about doing this, like getting the word in you, speaking the word, doing, and they, you know, and how to faith. You know, this, you know, that's all we heard. And see, people today say, well, they're always on that faith stuff. Oh. You only please God with it. Can't please God without it. And they say, oh, they're crazy. They're over that faith stuff. Thank God I went to those meetings and heard that stuff. Thank God I didn't listen to all them other idiots. They were nothing. Hey, they were just not. They were like the world. They had the world. And what the world did. We don't want the world to think we're strange. I do. I want them to know I'm different. Amen. I want them to know there's a difference. Do you want them to know that you're different? Well, they ain't gonna know if you're different if you don't talk or act different. They will never know. Never know. When I got saved and I started working, I was Mr. Hellion. And I got saved and I was at Reese's, and they knew immediately Ed was different. And you know what? I didn't try to hide it from them. They said, Ed, in my department, I became the talk of the town, man. You know? And it wasn't because Ed got so wonderful. It's like, man, he don't act like hell like the rest of us anymore. I've even had Christians that said they were Christian, didn't care for it. Too much God. You know, this guy's going too far. You know, you've got into the extreme. You know what? I'm not even near as extreme as Smith Wigglesworth. I'm not as, and preachers have enough nerve to use him as an example. They ought to be ashamed. They couldn't get a job in heaven shining his shoes. he was extreme. They said, well, you know, I'm extreme. See, these people get out here. I've had ministers use those guys as examples and then tell me I'm an extreme. I say, man, you sure didn't read any of his books. You just heard somebody else make a quote about him and then you picked it up, started doing it. Cause if you read about him, you say, come on, I have books of him and his sermons and they'll scorch you. I'll tell you, I got to get off my chair and walk. My hiney hurts. And I'm serious. It's like, oh my God. he walks in places I didn't. Hallelujah. Praise God. But I just want to tell you, begin to practice it. Let's get back. Let's tell people. See, people are coming to me, Christian, they need help. You know, it's just like a minister friend calls. He needs help dealing with something. He didn't need another guy saying, well, I just love you and let's pray for you. And he needs somebody tell him, this thing needs fixing. Here's how you fix it. Amen. And he had admitted, when I'm done talking to him, I didn't know nothing about it. Some of these things were going on. He said, you're exactly right about this. He said, I can see this. This is exactly what's been happening here. He said, I see this. And he told me, he said, you know, I've come to you a few times and he said, you've always had an answer. I said, this ain't it. And it isn't. I just want to tell you this. I have a gift in me. And lots of times I had this. Sometimes he called me and say something. I don't know a thing about nothing. But all of a sudden when they ask me about something, I'll just know. And I told him, it has a lot of wisdom. It's the gift. I said, that's the way my gift works. I said, it's in me. I see things. And when he talked to me, I just saw things. I just knew what they were. It wasn't it. Whoa, he's a genius over there. No, it's the gift. It's how it's worked. But you know what? Your gift in you won't see. I talk about my gift's supernatural. It's a great gift. And my gift works supernaturally. I see things. I know things. You know why? I talk it. See, many people, you know what? They're trying to develop their gift. If you ain't talking about your gift, forget about it. It'll never develop. You know what I do? I brag on my gift. Now, some people, you should do that. It ain't about Ed, it's the gift. I'm not bragging on Ed. It's the gift. If the gift don't work, you just got Ed. Good luck. I don't even want to hang around with him. It's the gift. Do that for yourself. See, the way you talk, it'll emphasize the gift in you. You speak about yourself and God working in you. I'll guarantee you supernatural things will start manifesting through you. Every one of us. There's no such thing as somebody don't have supernatural. Well, then you ain't a Christian. It's there. God, you know, the gift in me, God is not going to... People say God increased the gift in me. The Lord told me, it don't increase. I just learn how to develop and yield to it. That's what... It's the gift is there. But I have to learn how to yield to it and develop it. And I found this out. My voice has a lot to do with whether or not my gift gets developed and grows. I talk good about the gift. I say about it. I'm not waiting till something happens, then I'll say, well, this is good. No. Something good's going to happen. Something's good. Because why? It's God's gift. There's no such different thing as a lousy gift from God. It's like the Lord told me years ago. He said, your gift's as good as anybody else. He said, big name minister, they ain't got a better gift than you. But see, it's how you talk about your gift. I can do some teaching and things and developing, but I tell you, a lot of developing my gift came from me talking about my gift and speaking about it. Speaking, this is my gift works. God uses me in this manner, and this is what he does, and he'll reveal things to me, and he'll show me things. And just like with you, if you talk about yourself as a Christian, right, don't be surprised. God don't reveal things to you and show you things and that stuff. But we're just going along, you're going to find yourself, don't be surprised, not much happens. See, we need God's gift. We have too many just people. We need supernatural gifts. And everybody got supernatural. It wasn't all for Benny Hinn. Why? Christians don't, but you gotta learn to develop what's in you. See, you get the word in you and you get the word will produce something supernatural in you. It will. Just think of the scripture tells us, where two agree is touching anything they ask. It will be done to them. He said anything. You and I have the ability to do anything. With two people, in other words, he didn't say, well, if two prophets get together, or two apostles, or two of this, or two of that. He just said, two. What are you doing? Get together, you do this. Think about that. You know why it don't happen? People don't talk like it. When they get in trouble, they want that to work. But they've never talked like they can operate in it. They've never discussed like they never see themselves in like they don't ever see. Then when they come around, they need it. Like we're just going to throw a switch on to make this work. It don't. It doesn't work that way. You're going to get the power out of the switch of whatever's in that line. And your power is connected to your spirit. And I'm going to tell you, if you've been nothing but the bunny energizer with a battery in there, if that's all you've gotten, don't be surprised when you flip the switch, it ain't doing much. I'm sorry. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And we want to, when we throw the switch, we have hooked up enough. And we have enough energy that it'll flow. See, he can do exceedingly abundantly above what you're asking or thinking. What did he say? According to the power that's in us. He didn't say according to the power of the Holy Spirit. What's in you? See, think about those scriptures. See, when I think about them, the first thing I do is thinking about, man, just saying the right things and building myself up. Why? Because I'll tell you what, I'm going to guarantee you this. I'm going to need to throw the switch. It's coming. Things will come along and happen, and I'm going to need to throw the switch. I ain't waiting to that day and ask for prayer that day, let's look in the scriptures now. No, I'm sorry. We got the generator running now, and it's charging up in there. And the Holy Ghost is going to say, let her go. And I'll do exceedingly abundantly. And it'll work, and he'll do it for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, in your everyday life, you can walk around and you can walk the life of faith. You can walk around saying things. You can speak to yourself. See, I learned to do that on a job working. I mean, I do it at home all the time. You know, I mow the yard and I'll talk things. You're going to use your time for something. Might as well do something that helped you. You know? We spend too much time in talking text. And much stuff that's just profitless. Well, it's not built. I don't care if you say, well, we're not doing bad stuff, but it ain't building you up. It's not building you up. Say, hey, if you want to text me, tell me how God's working in me. See, so, you don't have to worry, they don't text you back. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I want you to think about today. Is, you know, God has designed you as a powerhouse. That's what you are. You are a powerhouse. You are. I'm not saying something trying to make you feel good. It's truth. You are designed by God. You were made a temple for this purpose, that God the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, would come and live in you. Now I want you to think about that. You have resurrection power in you. Now, if you really had a belief in that, healing and stuff would be an easy thing. But see, we say those things, that sounds nice. It's not enough a sign. You need to get full of faith in that. See, there's certain principles in the words you got to get a hold of, who you are. God's in you. God lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead says, He's making alive my mortal body. In other words, just think about Paul wrote to the church at Rome and told them that he's in there for the purpose to quicken and make alive the body. That's number one. He's a teacher, but Paul said he's in there to make your body alive. In other words, health in your body. That's number one. Oh no, we've just turned him into a dove. That's all we got today is a dove. Flying around, every once in a while he catches on fire. This, you know, he's have a picture of it. But see, the reason these don't work, we have these statements that are so astronomical. I mean, you meditate on that. The Holy Spirit right now, you know what? I don't feel him in me. I don't feel him in me. But the Bible says he's in me, making my body alive. He's doing that. What am I doing? Am I speaking against him? Am I saying, or am I cooperating with it? Am I really ever talking about that? Or what am I saying? Well, I just, I'm feeling bad. Oh, today I'm having, I tell you, this is bothering me. Or, yeah, I've had this problem with this and I've had this problem. I don't have a problem with that. I have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead's living in me. And I ain't dead, so he don't even have to use enough power to resurrect me. He just do a little bit and fix me. So that's it. We're fixed. Hallelujah. See, the church is in a search for power that they have, and this is why it don't work. We're looking for a move of God that's in us. Same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Think about that. This is you. You know what you need to do? You need to go look in the mirror every once in a while and talk about that guy in there, what he really is. If you can't look past your outer man and your flesh and look and say, that guy, man, in the inside of this man, my God, he's so glorious. He's incredible. God moved in with him. God likes him so much, he moved in with him. God and him are one. Whew! We're in a search for God. My God. I mean, just, hey, go up the apartment, knock on the door. He's there. I mean, it's just, this is you. See, if you meditate on, these might sound strange, but if you meditate and this becomes real to you, it'll change everything about you believe about the Word, the power of God. You'll look, it's just like me. It completely changed how I looked at healing and how I looked at those things. I'll never forget, but I got the revelation that, you know, I have the mind of Christ. I was working, and all of a sudden I got that revelation. And after that, I never say anything else. I have the mind of Christ. I got it. And it revolutionized. It just, the Word of God opened up to me revelation, things. Why? I'm cooperating with the Word of God. I'm believing something in my heart. I'm saying it. I'm cooperating. I'm doing the Word. Many people think, well, I'm feeding the poor. I'm doing the Word. Well, if you ain't doing it by faith, you don't have faith in it. You're just doing works. That's all that is, works. In the church world, you know, if you read the letters of the church, they didn't feed the world. They raised money for the church that were poor. They didn't give hot dogs to the sinners to try to reach them for Jesus. Woo! I know. I got this different Bible. I don't know where it came from. All I know this, it's been working for me. Let me alone. You can read your version. I don't know. But this one's working. But I just want to get yourself to really, from the standpoint that it, what is in you, you really are, dawns on your mind. Number one, because if you don't change your mind, you ain't changing. You got to, however long it takes, this is not a quick thing. I have been renewing my mind since 1980. I ain't ever stopped. Because you know what? I've learned a lot of things on along the way that I had to change, where I thought things were a certain way. Might have been partially right, but I sure didn't have the whole picture. And as I've had to change the way I thought, they go, this is a constant change you're going to do. You never will come to the place, oh, I got my mind renewed now. That's where most Christians are. They think they're doing pretty good, and they don't realize they're regressing. The church has regressed since the 90s. They have regressed. Why? They quit doing what we were taught to do to stay on top of it. People don't go and sit down in meetings for a week to three or four meetings a day and sit down and just go listen to the Word. No, I go to church on Sunday. I do that. No, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You know what? It's just like going to college. You don't go one day a week to learn something. You don't have one hour and I say, I'm going to college. I'm going to be a brain surgeon. I'm going to go through, we go once a week and we sit down and we go through the things. And that's why we don't know brain surgeons in the church. There ain't no brain surgeons. Because, you know, my words. See, well, I can, well, people say, well, I can watch them online. Well, I say, that there's nice if you can, but do you? I'm going to tell you to do something. Sometime and sit down, watch, and refuse. You will not get up and go do something else. You're not going to get up, stop, go get something to eat, a break in between. That's you sit down and you listen. See, when I went to school, you know what? You didn't get up and wander around class. You know, people today are lazy. Yeah, we've got nothing but lazy Christians out of online stuff. And they get up and walk away from it and they'll go do something and I gotta have this and do that. They will not sit down. See, could you imagine you say, people, would you do that with Jesus? Well, no. Well, yes, you do. If you did it to the man he sent, you did it to him. So don't tell me that you wouldn't do it to Jesus when you do it every day to him. You see, we gotta change our cult. The culture of the world is in the church. And if we want to renew our minds, we have to step into this culture of glory. And it is glory. We got to step in the culture that allows the move of God to complete what it wants to do. And it can't do it with Ed's thinking over here in this stuff. Can't do it. It's going to require some things. If somebody's got a better way of making it do it, I want to know. You know, please tell me. But I just keep seeing the parable of the sower. And I just said, that's what Jesus said. You know, I look at all parables differently by looking at what Jesus said. So I hear people teach a lot of things on them, but it's best they go over. I mean, Jesus was just a downright faith teacher. He was teaching the principles of how faith works. Why? Because that's what he lived and he walked in. That's why he was a success, and he has called you to the same success. Aren't you glad? Amen. Aren't you glad? If you couldn't attain to it, he was a lousy Lord. Why to ask you to do something you can't do? Say, well, I'm just not as good as other people. That's your mouth. You have developed that. You have done that, not somebody else. I don't care what people say about you or have said. I don't care what you grew up with. You're an adult today. You have the choice of what you're going to do with it. You are not going to go back home and say, well, my family, I don't care about your family, and God doesn't either. You're a Christian today. You're an adult, and you have the very right to set yourself in the direction you want to go. Don't let other people's weaknesses become your weakness. Take the strength of Jesus Christ and His Word and put on His strength. Put on His ability. And you can do it. Our mouth is the most important thing. People don't realize that. You get saved by your mouth. It's the way the thing works. See, we ought to govern things. Saying blessing, you know. Not cursing, blessing. You know, it always makes me cringe when I hear a person curse themselves, say things about themselves as a Christian and say things and make statements. You know, and you know, sometimes people kiddingly say things, but I'm talking about people, you know, it's just sort of their way. Around Christians, and they always look at themselves, well, I just not this, and I'm just not that, and I just don't have that. And I listen to talk, say, yeah, you're never going to have it either. You're never going to have it. It's never coming. You'll never have it, because I'm not that. Hallelujah. You can be everything the Bible says you can. And I'm going to tell you, your Lord wants you to. He's never working in opposition against you. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to say today, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing us. Just, it is so far out, the blessing of what your plan is for your people, how far you want to take us, far you want to go. You are the most phenomenal God. There is none like you. There's nobody, nothing comes close to it. Lord God, I just think back, Lord, when I heard Kenneth Hagin say you read the Bible and it almost seems like it's a fantasy. It almost seems, can this really be true? Can this really be so? It looks like a fairy tale, but it's not a fairy tale. It's truth. Hallelujah. Oh, my words, Lord. Lord, men keep trying to lord over people and do stuff. Oh, you gave us the most blessed Lord over us, the most wonderful Lord over us. Hallelujah. Who did all that He did for us and not for Himself. He did it all for us. Oh, Jesus, Lord over me. Lord over me. Jesus, open our eyes today to see and to understand and to comprehend. Lord God, concerning the things we're teaching, the parable of the sower, putting those seeds of the words in us and speaking them out and acting on. Lord God, we want to be professionals at this. Lord God, we want to fulfill your word to carry out your plans and your purposes. Lord, we want to get much better at doing this. Hallelujah. Thank you for how far you've taken us. I appreciate it. But Lord God, just speaking here today, Lord, whoa, I see, man, places to reach out further in this, places to go further in this, that your glory can be revealed. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you today, Lord God, these people, they are your people. They've been bought by a price and not by the price of any man. And they're your servants, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Father God, I always think of what the Apostle Paul said, the good work that you started in it, you'll bring to completion, that you will bring it to completion in them. Hallelujah. Praise God in the name of Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. I see that. I see that. I see that. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord told me to do this. Repeat this after me. The good work God started in me, He will bring it to completion. The good work that God has started in me, He will bring it to completion. The good work that God has started in me, He will bring it to completion. Now allow your spirit to hear that. The good work, say it again, the good work God has started in me, He will bring it to completion. I will fulfill His will. I will fulfill His plan. Because a good work He started in me, He will bring it to completion. You see, now I say that concerning me. I even say it about other people all the time. I say that. See, the good work. See, sometimes I think, Ed, you're messed up. But I don't say, Ed, you're messed up. I say, Ed, the good work God started. Now, I've gone to the Lord to this all the time. I say, Lord, I know things don't look right here, but You said through the Apostle Paul, the good work started in me, You're going to bring it to completion. You got a job to do. You got your hands full with Ed. I hope he has enough time for the rest of you guys, because he's got a lot of work on Ed. But the good work. Say those things about yourself. Speak the things that edify you of God's working in you, not your shortcomings, not your faults and failures. If you need to confess a sin, confess it and do this. Most people don't have a problem with God forgiving them. It's them forgiving themselves. You need to learn. You need to develop spiritually where you can forgive yourself for your shortcomings. Because the devil will use it against you and keep your faith from working. You don't allow the devil to do that. If God says He forgave you, you just walk around. Don't say He didn't. And I'm telling you this, when you ask God to forgive you, you need to open your mouth and say, with words in my, thank You, Lord, You have forgiven me. It is not being held against me anymore. You need to say those things with your mouth. This is why Christians don't overcome. They'll ask God to forgive them and walk around and say, I still feel bad about that. That's their confession. That's their confession. Don't you do that. God forgave me. Hallelujah. It's gone. There's no remembrance, and I refuse to remember it either. Hallelujah. We're not going there. I'm not going to let the devil mess my life up of things. They're not even held against me. See, we got to go learn to forgive yourself. Learn to do that. And do it how? With your mouth. Praise God. God's forgiven me. Hallelujah. He's cleansed me from all unrighteousness. I'm just as righteous. Just hallelujah. Just as pretty as I always was. See, we want to do those things because, see, this is how you overcome in life. This is how you overcome. See, people are trying to overcome by all kinds of different ways. Now, this is the overcoming life. This is the life of victory. Hallelujah. Because the devil's going to come and knock, and he's going to drag your past. He's going to pull it up in front of you. Yeah, you remember when you did that, you ugly thing. He don't drag those things to me. You know why? Because I've done confess that they're gone, and I say it, I'll say it, I'll say it. And if the thought comes to me, I don't join in. I just say, no, that's forgiven. No, we ain't going there. We don't go there. So you don't live in the past, you don't live in the weakness of the past. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we just want to say thank You today. As we leave this place, we leave full. Hallelujah. We leave with the glory of God, with the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, quickening our bodies today. Our minds are open, hallelujah, for change. Our minds are open to think the thoughts of God from our spirit today as we leave here. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's working mighty. The same one, the one that's just like Jesus, is working in us today. Hallelujah. And my mind and your minds are fruitful in the name of Jesus. Thinking the thoughts of heaven. Hallelujah. Your mouth is full of speaking words of God from your heart that bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. To perfection. We thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.